This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce has the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's always fun to talk to our dear friend Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Guys, and you know, I heard you talking with Coom about the weather here and the wind blowing. Today we have a crosswind coming from the west across toward from left field to center field. So I think balls going out to right center field are going to get a little bit of help, probably about 8 to 10 right now, but who knows what it'll be at game time.
Exactly.
Right?
And I'm glad you brought it up, because our interview with Ron Coomer on The Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of early pay. More at huntington.com/yourmoney.
Bruce, it's 9 o'clock. You know that by the first pitch at 1:20, that could shift several different times in several different ways.
Well, if anything proves that, David, it's what we saw during the month of May here. And there was extreme wind almost every game, both on the south and north side, particularly here at Wrigley Field, where it was blowing to the extent where you guys maybe help me out. 2 or 3 times the wind was blowing out the entire month. The rest were, you know, blowing in, crosswinds, inclement weather. It was just an May to kind of forget, except for the record for the Cubs.
Well, if we know anything here, it is everything about the windsock.
Boy. I'm really curious, as you've talked about so much, Bruce, when you have like a cheap sweep of Colorado, was that due to the wind kind of not blowing out, and will that mean that when you sweep Cincinnati, you'll get more than 2 runs a game?
I'm going to have to disagree with you on the cheap sweep. Yes, you're right. The ballpark was impacted by the wind, but the pitching was superlative. I know it was the Rockies. That's what you want to watch. The bullpen was outstanding. The starting pitching was good. You play the schedule, you know. I mean, again, this is the softer part of the schedule. The Cubs are doing what they had to do in these 21 games that, you know, they're winding up here, where they had teams under 500 after playing the hardest schedule in baseball at the beginning of the year. So, again, you did what you had to do. And I think, you know, again, when you talk to Ron about the different ways this team can win, you know, it's been built that way. It's been built with that. If there wasn't power, there was speed, and there was athleticism and really good coaching to go along with all that, to be able to have the birdies and the Brujans coming off the bench, being able to steal bases, set up winning runs, and you have the athleticism of Pete Crow Armstrong and Horner, you know, and then you have, you know, Tucker and Wright. I mean, this is a much more athletic team, a bigger baseball IQ team than it was in 2024.
Assuming Colin Ray is pitching and starting today for the Cubs. Not sure about Saturday or Sunday. We'll have to make assumptions. But why are we left to make assumptions, Bruce? Why aren't the Cubs penciling in or making official who their starting rotation will be this weekend?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Ben Brown he's been irregular in the way that he's thrown. There's been some really good growth signs for Ben, and then there's been the inconsistent outings where it's been 4 innings, you know, or 4 1/3. So I think, you know, normally it would be his day, but because of the off day, I think You know, they're considering skipping him. And as you said, you know, starting with Ray today instead. It still hasn't been announced. I talked to our friends at Media Relations. I said that the announcement is still not there for the starting pitcher in the lineup. But nonetheless, you know, there's some growth here, you know, going on with the starting rotation. And it'll be interesting to see. They want to give Brown an extra day, how they're going to deal with it. We'll know a little bit more later.
Bruce, the White Sox in Baltimore with an opportunity to move out of the basement of the American League for the first time in a long time. I mean, I can't think of the last time the White Sox weren't the worst team in the American League, but they are within a sweep of erasing that. Now, the Orioles clearly want to get it over with, just like the Mets did. They've moved the game up, making up weather issues. But I'm just curious, why do people just want to play the Sox as early as possible rather than in prime time?
I don't think – isn't it weather today?
Yeah, it's weather. It was weather in New York, too.
I know what you're saying.
I'm just making a joke.
I know.
But they can get out of the cellar. I mean, that's conceivable. I wouldn't pick it, but if they were somehow to sweep – the Orioles, they would no longer be the worst team in the American League.
I guess what you're saying is, as a Sox fan, you know, I'm paraphrasing your non-phrase and saying, as a Sox fan, you're saying they still are not good enough for me to be that interested, even if they do get out of last place. Is that what you're saying?
That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying they got a chance to get out of it. And I also want to remind everyone that tickets are going on sale at 10 o'clock in the morning today for $5 each to go to that Pope Mass. On-site parking also available for $5. So you want to make sure that you get a chance to enjoy the ballpark even when the White Sox aren't playing, because the Pope's going to send a message to the children.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, Bruce, speaking of the White Sox, we heard yesterday on MLB Network, we've been talking about it a little bit, that Miguel Vargas's change in moving his hands and his ability to improve his swing and his production since that point was the greatest in-season improvement in the history of the MLB Network, which started and launched in 2009. Based on the people you talked to, is that an exaggeration, or do you think that that is actually something that is a valid contention and how far he has come?
Can I tell you on Labor Day?
Well, that's a good point, because the adjustment to the adjustment will be the key to finding out how sustainable it is.
Look, when the White Sox traded for him, they thought they were getting a really good player, okay? And they were panned certainly for his lack of production last year and the fact that he just wasn't very good. So, you know, give the White Sox hitting people, you know, credit for helping him out. Give him most of the credit for adjusting and being a real threat going up there. I mean, he's the one guy now that when the White Sox are playing in the opposition, they sit there and they say, well, who do we have to worry about here? Who do we have to maybe pitch around in a big situation? And that's him, you know. So with that in mind, I would say that he's an exciting new adjustment for the White Sox, who need offense as desperately as anybody in baseball. So it's a great thing for them, and I'm really happy for him as well. He's worked extraordinarily hard to get back there, and we know, I mean, the White Sox deserve some good stories, don't they, outside of their young starting pitching, and they're starting to get it there. Hopefully Benintendi can stay healthy here at 4 RBIs the other day.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, again, offense, Tauchman coming back. And even though he's not an everyday starting player, he's an important player on that team. You know, so having some professional at-bats for the offense, you know, I think that's the key to them being much better than they were last year.
Who gets credit for that adjustment? I mean, I know ultimately the player has to buy in, but is that a Ryan Fuller thing? I mean, we've talked about how the White Sox got a pretty good feel for how to get pitching, and we give Bannister credit all the time for that. Now it looks like they have figured something out with hitting, and I'm hoping that it's Ryan Fuller because I want to hope that maybe Colson Montgomery can get some help. And I want to hope that, and again, this would be the miracle one, if somehow Vaughn learned how to hit a little bit. I'm being honest. Like, I'm not just making jokes.
Well, they're doing all the right things, okay, even though it's painful to watch. You know, when you send Vaughn, who's been in the major leagues for 4 years, to the minor leagues because he's not getting it done, again, it's not a punishment or, you know, and I told you so. It's how can we get the best out of this player regardless of who we thought he was, you know, being drafted so highly, you know, 5 years ago, and the idea that he just hasn't, you know, he hasn't been able to hit, and he's not hitting the ball with authority that often and not making the hard contact that he wants to all the time. So I would say Fuller gets a lot of the credit. And I would say the one thing that goes really unnoticed for the White Sox is the step up that they have in metrics since they've taken over here over the last 4 years. It was started under Hahn and Williams, but it's really been stepped up here. And if any money that they're spending on the franchise right now, it's definitely all about you know, the minor leagues and the metrics departments as far as building up, you know, better ideas about how to deal with numbers, how numbers can help people. So with that in mind, I think, you know, this is probably hopefully a first step toward noticing this more with some of their hitters other than position players.
So, Bruce, you're out there all the time. We know that you work late and you get up early. And I think that when you watch the Cubs, do you get the sense, it might seem like a silly question, that they are the fourth best team in baseball when you look at the standings? They are better than the Dodgers by a game. They're better than everyone except for the Yankees, Phillies, and Tigers, which as we sit here, we know the schedule dynamics. We know the injuries they've overcome. But do you get a sense that regularly, as close to this as you are, that you're watching the fourth best team in the league?
Yeah, I do. I do think it's right up there. And you know, it's interesting that you mention it because, you know, walking over here from the parking area to the ballpark, I was just thinking, you know, it's so important that the big section of Dodgers, Giants, Padres, half of the Phillies, all those games are behind them, and that the schedule is softer. Certainly, as you saw with the Rockies, you're not just going to throw your gloves and bats out there and win the ball games, but they won. So the reality that they have so many different ways to beat you, and that development is still happening for this team in the rotation, as we were talking about with Brown and with Horton, in the bullpen with Palencia moving toward looking like the all-year closer for them. So a lot of good things are happening for them. Yeah, they've had injury. They've lost their two top starters. Really hasn't impacted them tremendously to this point. It will, you know, and hopefully they'll have Imanaga back, you know, within a month. But there'll be other injuries, other things they have to deal with. But I believe that this is one of the top teams in the National League, if not in Major League Baseball right now. There are holes, but if you look at all the other clubs, they have them too.
I'm glad you said that, Bruce, because I think that when we think about what the Cubs have been able to do, and you know, I'm not sure that we're appreciative enough of Jed and Craig Counsell of producing a team that can win in different ways and having a manager that can use people differently. And I think that when I think of the best teams in baseball, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Detroit has the best record in baseball, and I give a lot of credit to A.J. Hinch because they use everybody. They got a lot of people that are doing different things on different days, and you know, just following them from a distance, it's always like it's not just one guy. I mean, they got Scooble, I understand that, but it's not just one guy playing the hero. They got other people doing other things, and I think there's an element of that with the Cubs. And I know they got the Cincinnati series and then they go to Washington, but they will be at Detroit soon enough. And I'm very curious if we're going to be, you know, in another week talking about the manager of the year stuff because of how well both these guys have been doing.
Yeah, you know, again, the thing that I emphasize the most, and some people are really bored by it, is the player development within the season and how Armstrong and Bush and Amaya came along after, you know, not looking very good at all last year at the beginning of the year, and how Council and his coaches get an awful lot of credit. They should get a lot of credit for this, you know, again, trying to win and developing young players at the same time, the hardest thing to do in sports, in particular baseball. And the Cubs are doing that right now, okay? They didn't do it to the extent they wanted to last year. You know, the 83 wins was not indicative of what they wanted to do. But I think it was the right number because of the fact that Armstrong didn't come around till the end. Amaya didn't come along to the end. Bush, although he hit early in the year, became an outstanding first baseman later in the year. So, you know, player development within a season, I think sometimes is lost on us and the media and the fans, because you're just expecting wins. You're not really looking at the evolution of a franchise and some of the young players that are coming along.
Well, the White Sox are immersed in it, so it's all about player development on the South Side, which leaves me wondering, at what point, Bruce, does Kyle Teal become too good at AAA to keep him down there, even though you do have a surplus of catchers, even though you do have a nice problem for a GM like Chris Getz? You have a hitter whose probably development would benefit from facing major league pitching this season.
Is the All-Star game soon enough for you?
If that's the idea, I could understand that.
You know, I let me ask you this question, and I'm just trying to think of all sides of this thing. If you are going to get draft capital for winning a Rookie of the Year, are you better off keeping that guy down for another year? Are you better off? I know all we care about is player development, but you're doing okay with the catcher position. Is it possible that you don't want him coming up and playing and doing anything that you couldn't, you know, forestall until next year and maybe get rewarded for it?
David?
I don't like that idea. I think that if he's ready, he's ready. And I wouldn't want to worry about the rookie who isn't here instead of the guy who is. I would focus my attention on how to get the most out of him and not necessarily worry about that or prioritize the prospect that you haven't drafted yet.
Like, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
No, and it's a
what
good,
do you
it's
think,
a good debate.
Bruce?
I like the idea of two really good catchers, okay?
Yeah.
I think we've seen it here for the first part of the season on the north side. Nothing wrong with those guys switching off. You know, all due respect to Corey Lee, who might end up finding himself a home in the major league somewhere else because he does have a lot of top qualities. But with those two guys up and back, and somebody, if you have two really good bats, one of them's a DH, right? One of them can play first. You'll find a place for him. I just think that when they feel he's ready, you know, there's nothing like the experience at the major league level. So I'm all for him staying there for as long as they feel he has to right now. But when they feel he's ready, bring him up. The fans deserve it. The other players deserve it. The owner and the front office deserve have their best players playing on the South Side.
I wonder, Bruce, Miguel Castro, they made a trade for him. They got him from Houston, brought him in. He comes in to wrap up the game the other night, and he apparently blows out his knee while tagging first base, while covering first base. And that's just – it's just a drag. I mean, it's I don't know what to say about it. It's not – I don't think it changes their season or turns anything around. It certainly impacts his career. But it's just like I couldn't help but wonder, like we saw Shota have a, you know, the hamstring. I'm just wondering, is that a lost art, just covering first base on a play? Like, it was a very awkward play, and he got the out, but, man, he blew his knee out while doing it. It's just a drag.
I'll tell you what, we in spring training, you know, when we're there for 6 weeks, we get sick of watching PFPs, you know, pitching, fielding practice. But, you know, all the teams do it. They don't do it very often during the year,
right. Okay?
There's not much time to do it. I mean, some teams do drills once in a while, especially after something negative happens out there where, you know, somebody isn't getting it done or a couple pitchers, particularly on a team with young pitchers, don't get the job done in the field. But again, the practice of that is usually there in the springtime. It's one of those oddities in baseball where they practice a lot of things and do repetitive drills in spring training during the year, because you're playing so many games and you need so much rest in between that you really don't do it. So I'm going to ask that question. It's a good one.
Great stuff,
great
Bruce.
Great stuff, Bruce. Thanks,
guys. Have a great day.
Talk to you in the morning inside the clubhouse, 9 to 11.
Who's your guess?
Well, I think we're trying to get a couple different people. There's a manager in town that Bruce knows well in the Cincinnati Reds dugout. That's a possibility. There's some other Cubs that are on the docket potentially, and we'll find out what the Sox have to offer in Baltimore.
Excellent. That sounds good.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, must listen, no doubt about it. No, it is. I mean it every week. 312-644-6767. Why do you laugh at me?
I'm not laughing.
Why is everything I say insincere?
I don't know. You have to answer that.
I don't think it is.
Next segment.
It's Mully and Haw, The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sky looking for their first win. Here's Vandersloot, pulls up from mid-range, hits it. One of the all-time best passers is now also the all-time leading scorer in Chicago Sky history. Scoring record happening on this play for Courtney Vandersloot, passing Allie Quigley.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Big moment for the Sky. Yesterday, not only did they win their first game, first win of the season, beating the Wings 97-92, but Courtney Vandersloot became the all-time leading scorer, surpassing none other than her wife. That is Allie Quigley, famous, at least for some of us, with her performance, Allie Quigley, in the old during COVID, when they had that glorious horse game that
oh my gosh, I remember you were so excited through. About Allie Quigley.
It was live sports, David. I needed live sports.
Nobody enjoyed the horse tournament on ESPN more than you did.
No.
I think I thought you were going to go, okay, you can know her for the horse tournament.
That's how I know
she
her.
Is the DePaul legend.
She's a local legend. She's a local person made good.
Yes.
We love her.
Yeah.
And she was at the game and she was recording her wife and the smile on her face when that happened. It was a nice little clip to see.
Joliet Academy, pride of Joliet.
Yes.
And so local product. And so that definitely a proud day.
Local product
for her,
made
I'm
good.
Sure. Yeah. Her record goes down and that's if you're going to get it broken, then that's probably the best person, an ideal person to break it. Quite the story. Also, this guy is going to retire Candace Parker's number 3 jersey.
Yeah, that's
on
great.
August 21st.
Another local woman made good.
2 seasons with this guy. Mm-hmm. One of them was a championship season, 2021.
Yep.
And
she came here just to throw a title to Chicago.
Yeah. Right? Yep. Well, she's won 2 others and 2 other franchises. I wonder. Besides LeBron James, can you think of any other basketball player or anybody in professional sports who's had their jersey retired by 3 different franchises?
Oh,
because I think that she's in line to do that.
That's
I think
interesting.
The Sky is playing in L.A. This is what Cam Smith told me last night on the Chicago Lead. And they're retiring her jersey on that night.
Oh, because that's where she's
at. Yes.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so I think that's quite the honor.
Wow, yeah. That's incredible. 3 different teams retiring our jersey.
LeBron will have it happen.
He's
Shaq will have it happen. Will Chamberlain's another one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pretty good.
That's really good. Asked and answered.
Yeah.
So Shaq would go Magic, Lakers.
Boston, Cleveland. Orlando.
Will Chamberlain? Yeah. That's a good
Wilt is Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, Golden State, and the Lakers.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Interesting.
Golden State's prize.
Good stuff.
Where is Shaq? Does he get his jersey retired? Where? Orlando, obviously.
Magic, Lakers, Heat.
And the Heat. Okay. You want to talk
of course.
The Heat.
Yeah. Yeah,
you Heat almost... are going to run out of numbers.
Why do you say that so derisively?
Oh, he just...
LeBron James.
that doesn't even make any sense.
No.
He's getting his jersey retired by the Heat, and so is Shaq.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you mean it doesn't make any sense?
That's a Wade got two. One or a statue. So.
Well, but why yeah. is that bad?
How about stay in one jersey
what about
and
Bosch?
Have it retired?
What about Bosch?
Bosch? Chris Bosch? Will it go? No.
Okay. The more you Bosch, you feel like a Bosch. Yeah.
That's good. It's spelled differently.
Yeah.
It's shocking. I didn't know that.
That's shocking. I know.
Well, you just had the spelling bee, by the way, last night.
Well, actually, yes. The Heat have Chris Bosch, Tim Hardaway, local guy made good.
Yeah.
Shaq, Alonzo Mourning, Udonis Haslem is another one.
Haslem. Is that right?
And then wow. Michael Jordan.
And Jordan. That was Pat Riley's idea. He's the king of the
Everybody
retired jersey. Yeah.
Well, the number 23 should probably be retired across.
Yes.
The NBA.
That's
and arguably across sports.
All sports.
Arguably across sports.
That's so ridiculous.
Or at least in Chicago. Nobody in the city. How about this, David? Nobody in the city of Chicago should ever wear the number 23 again unless they currently wear it. After that, everybody wears a patch of 23 for their respective.
Listen to him.
Devin Hester, though.
Yeah.
Somebody got their Friday night from
Robin Ventura.
Awfully giddy.
These are all 23s.
Yeah. I'm aware. Thanks. Yeah. Molly and I will play along for the last couple minutes.
Why would the Cubs or the White Sox care about retiring a jersey for the Chicago Bulls? Why would they do that?
No, I didn't.
Did he say that?
Listening's a skill.
You're suggesting that everybody retire 23?
Yes, for their own. Every there's been a good number 23 for every single franchise in this town.
Yeah, I don't know. The White Sox 23 for Robin Ventura?
Well, I mean, it's a low bar,
what?
But I mean,
hey,
I mean, Harold
what
Baines
do you mean
is in
it's
the
a
hall.
Low bar?
Harold Baines is in the Hall of Fame. David, didn't you vote for him?
I'm kidding. I'm feeling attacked.
You're feeling
Burley
attacked?
Burley Fisk? Let's go to hockey.
Okay.
Is there a 23? Is Denny Savard was 18,
Christopher
right?
Christopher Stieg, I think, was 23. I don't think they're worried about that. No, I don't think there's been a good 23 in Hawks history. But, I don't know. I don't know if I feel about that. Bears going to retire another jersey? Don't they have more retired jerseys than any team?
Yeah,
in the
they
NFL?
Got more Hall of Famers than any other team, though. Yeah. So, I mean,
point is, if LeBron wasn't chasing championships, he'd only have the one or maybe two jerseys retired.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. It's a valid point. I didn't realize you felt that way about LeBron. Shocking.
What would you think of LeBron, speaking of dumb ideas, what would you think of LeBron opting out of his Lakers contract? I think it's north of $50 million, mm-hmm. and going back home to the Cavs and playing like on a league minimum to try to get another title with them.
Not that much, actually. I think that would probably disrupt some of the chemistry in Cleveland. I'm not sure they'd be better with him at this stage of his career. Plus, they'd have to add Bronny.
Is that part of the deal?
That's part of the deal. And draft Bryce. I don't think that would be good for Cleveland.
That's really
You're going to have to draft Bryce next year. Add Bronny to the – where does the Cleveland's G League team play?
Texter checks in. Stu Grimson was a number 23.
Yeah. Okay, got time for Phillip, Stu Grimson. Yeah.
Phillip Kershaw last year. I don't think he's in danger of wearing that next year. He's going to probably be part of the purge. I don't think he's going to be back.
I interviewed Stu Grimson one time years ago. I did Blackhawks coverage for a 2-week period, 10 days.
You covered the Hawks?
For about 10 days.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
You got on the beat? Like the beat guy?
I was the beat guy.
Well,
for
we need
about
to fill
days.
In the Hawks. Go yeah. go to practice, go to games.
That's what
Go sit my, in
that's
the
what
press
I
box.
Did. I did. That was before I was a beat writer. I did every beat.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And I loved it. It was really fun. But Stu Grimson... I didn't know Stu Grimson. I knew little about him. I knew he was a very, tough individual, and he was, a minutes guy, could fight. And I asked him a question about fighting, and he said, well, the history of pugilism in the NFL, in the NHL. He gave an answer that was like so intelligent. I was like, wait a minute. I thought you were like a goon. How the guy is like, was a really bright, thoughtful, well-spoken man.
That surprised you because you had an expectation that he
because
would be.
Because I saw him beat the hell out of a couple people.
Yeah, so that's funny.
I'm just saying, I saw that guy in a couple of fights that were unbelievable.
Belligerent yet intelligent, right?
Well, I don't. He wasn't belligerent to me. He was. He was, like I say, just absolutely articulate and well spoken, and I was very impressed.
Who was the coach?
I was very surprised.
Who was the coach at that time?
At the time, oh,
do you remember who that would be? You weren't doing the Alpo Supponen.
No. It was, you know, he was a former player, Dirk Graham.
Dirk Graham?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he was the coach at the
time. Dirk Graham.
But, you know, my favorite Blackhawk in those days was Jocelyn Lemieux. I really thought that guy was like a little cannonball of a player and, you know, tough guy, fast. And then I also interviewed Steve
Larmer.
Holy cow. Steve Larmer was like one of the shyest guys.
He's a shy guy. He was a shy star.
I've ever interviewed.
Remains like, very unassuming.
He was like, honest to God, I like asked him a question and he all but crawled into his locker to get away from me. It was really, I realized like, I kind of put him on the spot by just saying, hey, how did that happen?
He was in town during the Jeremy Roenick induction last fall, and he was at the United Center, and I was there, and he was doing something for CHSN, and he was, you know, one of those guys you get into an elevator with, and there's a couple other guys, and they're like, oh, that's Steve Larmer. Said nothing.
Yeah.
He was very, like, no,
he's
very
just
shy.
Very shy.
Very unassuming, very comfortable being
quiet.
Away from the spotlight.
Right.
Also, one of those, you talk about jersey numbers. They should retire.
Hell of a player.
They need to retire that one. I think he was, definitely a jersey.
Was he a 19? What was he?
No, I think he was 28.
28, I'm sorry.
I think Steve Larmer was. No, yeah. You're thinking Jonathan Toews.
Jonathan Toews didn't play with Steve Larmer.
No, but he was 19.
Yeah, but I mean.
But you said 19.
I said Larmer. I was asking, what is his jersey number? I was trying to remember.
I know. And you said, what, is he 19?
I said, no, I didn't. But it's so unfair to say I confused him with Jonathan Toews.
Okay. Well, I think that we were talking about Toews earlier in the show, and I thought that would just
maybe that's why it was in my mind.
Yeah, it was top of your mind. That's all I meant.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Toews, he's going to, you know, Toews and Kane will probably have the next statues, if they're hockey statues, outside the United Center or wherever they put them. He'll be a guy that is worthy of that. Win three cups.
Okay. So, like, Mike George got a great statue there. Should they put a Scottie Pippen statue next to him?
I'm just
saying, Toews and Kane,
it's
we just think of them as one human, and it's totally not.
They can put them on the same bust or the same platform if they want.
I'm saying, don't do that. Do it separately.
Yeah, I think.
Why don't you respect individuals in hockey?
I think because you get so used to saying their name together. Toews and Kane. Kane and Toews. Kind of the package deal. I know they had very different career paths since their last, you know, Stanley Cup victory 10 years ago. Goodness sakes.
Is it really 10 years?
10 years ago, 2015. Wow. Yeah. But I think they are forever paired in history, in our minds. In hockey fans' minds, I think it's impossible to think of one without thinking of the other, the way they grew up together.
Okay.
The Grim Reaper. Stu Grimson was known as the Grim Reaper. That's a good nickname. Excellent nickname.
Was he the Grim Reaper?
I don't know. So we have Sox today. Reminder, 3:30 today, the White Sox on the Chicago Sports Network. That means there will be no shoulder programming. No Chicago lead tonight.
Oh, that means you're off, is what you're
no
saying.
No Big Pro Football Show tonight.
So now you are going to the game.
There's no Big Pro Football Show or Chicago lead.
There's one of them bats in your future.
Yeah.
It was a nice surprise.
I'm curious. Why? I find it hard to believe that among the four of us, that Brandon's the only guy that's had a bat full of beer.
Not true.
You've had one?
Yes.
At a hockey game.
Yeah, it's a hockey
game. But it was like,
it was a stick.
Well, that's not the same thing.
Same idea. Right.
Same idea. Same idea, but not the same thing. I'm saying, Dustin is a guy that once had season tickets during our association.
In a 103 loss season.
It is hard to believe that you've never had a bat full of beer.
I haven't been to Wrigley since they offered that.
Yeah.
So, well, 2 weeks from 2 weeks from tomorrow.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Do you plan on having a bat?
If they got Michelob Ultra in them or
so you're going to blow off lights. The Pope's mass at Wright Field maybe, to go to Cub game.
And I mean this in all seriousness because I'm betting that this is going to be a hot ticket. I wonder if they will stream this event.
It would make sense if they did.
Not everybody is going to be able to go.
It would make sense. And by the way, tickets go on sale
right.
in about 15 minutes, 20 wow. minutes, 10 o'clock, $5 a piece, on-site parking also available. Cardinal Blaze Supich will lead the mass on June 14th. And our guy, teammate, Chicago Bulls announcer for the score, Chuck Swirsky. He's the MC.
He's got his dancing shoes on. Gates will open at 12:30. I'm really happy for Chuck because I think he's probably really tickled by it. The program begins at 2:30. The mass starts at 4:00. And there is an archdiocese spokesperson quoted here saying, "This celebration is an extraordinary opportunity for people from the city and beyond to come together in a shared pride for one of our own." And that would be Pope Leo XIV. So,
great honor for Chuck Swirsky. Yep. Always a pleasure.
No question.
Now you can be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line. Get a chance to win a couple tickets to see Dierks Bentley at Credit Union One Amphitheater on June 14th. Same night, you could go to the Mass at 4 o'clock and still make the Dierks Bentley concert at night, courtesy of Live Nation. Visit livenation.com, 312-540-0670.
All right, we'll be right back. I believe the Score crew.
Yes, they are at
Rahimi Harris Grody are live in the parking lot right now of Wrigleyville Dogs on Clark.
Nice.
And we will connect with them. And then don't forget that Zach will be there with the pregame show up until first pitch. And you can. You can get the Circa Sports Illinois app to be eligible for some future edition swag and promotions. Plus, food's going to be provided to you by Wrigleyville Dogs. If you're going to the game, that's the place to start. Stop by today at 10 o'clock, and it's all brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Download the Circa Sports Illinois app and the Cubs game. The coverage begins at 12:45, first pitch at 1:20 on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. So we'll talk to those guys next, Mully and Haw on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.